Dublin's Talking Sport with Ken Doherty and Reggie Corrigan.
Sponsored by InsureMyCars.ie. Low-cost car insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyCars.ie.
On Sunshine 106.8.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Dublin's Talking Sport.
Welcome to Dublin's Talking Sports podcast with me, Ken Doherty, and my good friend, Reggie Corrigan. Thanks for tuning in to catch up on the latest GAA, football, rugby, and all the crack. Enjoy the show, and don't forget, rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time to turn our attention to rugby, and there's plenty happening. I'm delighted to be joined on the line this week by Dan Van Zyl, a former South African scrum half and good friend of mine. How are you, Dan? Are you well?
Very well in yourself, Reggie.
Never better, I have to say. Looking forward to another good weekend of rugby this week after a fantastic week last week, it has to be said. A result that I was confident of us beating La Rochelle, but I certainly didn't see it happening in the manner in which it did. So it was an unbelievable performance. We look back at that first before we move forward. Dan, it was a brilliant performance from Leinster, it really was, and putting any doubters to bed.
Look, I have to agree with you. You know, I think it was a performance that there wasn't any fault in it, you know, from attacking play. I mean, Brian O'Driscoll saying that in the week that maybe they've lost a bit of their attacking flair with the defensive mindset that they had. They attacked very well. The defense, they took to another level, and I think really surprised La Rochelle again. So, no, for me, it was one of the most complete performances that I've seen Leinster played at.
Yeah, no question about it. And I suppose it gives a renewed bit of pressure as well, because now all the talk is that, they're going to win the Champions Cup. And unfortunately, I've been in that position before where there is a semi-final to get over first before you get to the final. And we were beaten by Perpignan in a game that we shouldn't have been beaten in. It's important that Leinster don't lose the run of themselves and focus completely on this Northampton side that are coming to town. But I think... with this current squad, that's kind of a foregone conclusion. They don't get ahead of themselves.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. And I think, you know, some of the coaching staff and so on that they brought in probably plays its part in that as well. Leinster is the team that everybody wants to be like. Their performances over the last 5 years and even longer has been brilliant. But in the last 4 to 5 years... brilliant without winning anything. So I think the players have got that real urge. I think the coaching staff have that urge. They develop their game. The occasion that's going to be Croke Park, I mean, I think every Irishman wants to play it at Croke Park. So the rugby guys get that opportunity. Sold out in two or five hours or whatever it was. So I think it's going to be a great occasion. Northampton can't be taken lightly because of the way they play, and I think nobody expected that probably at the start of the year. So they're on a nice journey themselves, but I just think Leinster have got to use the word, too much dog for Northampton.
I think so too. I'm interested to get your views on Neenan Barr. We've spoken about him before, and there was a lot of talk after the game of his influence being evident already in the way that Leinster are playing, certainly with defensive setups and everything else. Have you noticed that yourself? Do you think that, like, it's only been a very short space of time that he's been here. Are you seeing traits that you would recognise as a coach that he may have brought in already?
Look, I definitely think so, and I've met him a few times, wouldn't know him very well, but I met Kieran Frawley a while back, and Frawley just said to me, that Ninaba, his attention to detail, the way he treats people, all of those things are something different that he hasn't experienced. And I even asked him, but how can that be? You've been coached by a lot of different people, and he says, well, that shows you the class of the guy, you know. So I think he's really brought that steel and that new defensive hunger to Leinster. Not that Leinster was ever a bad defending team, but you can just see, like, even the game against the Bulls in the second half the week before, you know, they just have got a real hunger to get that ball back, you know. And then as soon as they get it back, you know, they've got the quality to finish it. So I do think he's definitely played a big part in a change of mindset.
Excellent. Okay, well, they go down to South Africa with a somewhat different side, but no doubt they'll still be looking to get performances. But the big prize will be that May date to see if they can get that semi-final over Northampton.
Yes, no, I think, look, Leinster is always used to the two competitions here at the end of a season, you know, but the Northampton one, I think, is the big prize. I think if you have to ask them URC or championship, you know, they'll go for the latter. So, although they really would like to win both.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the women's game, because a huge international facing the Irish women today. Last time out against England wasn't so good. 69-0 was the scoreline. And let's bear in mind, this is a fully professional English outfit that they're up against, and it is going to be a very tough game for the Irish women. But we have seen, and I know you've done a lot of coaching yourself in the women's game, but we have seen quite significant improvements this season in the way that the squad are playing, and I suppose we'll be expecting that to come through a little bit today as well, to see a good performance against England, if nothing else, and sort of indicators that it's moving in the right direction. Are you expecting that?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think the performance against France in week one was like that. Nobody expected them to beat France, but just wanted to see how the team have come on, and, you know, have they performed in certain areas, because I think last year's campaign was very disappointing. As you rightly say, England, I think it's 27 or 28 games on the hop that they haven't got beaten. They might look at France next week for again another Grand Slam. But I do think the Irish girls or women have really improved this year. Their attacking play has definitely improved. They've also got a bit of a steel now in defence, not leading tries so easy. The Wales performance last week, I think people expected it to be closer, even some of the old Irish players. But their performance last week was really good. And it's now just, can they have what will be a good performance against England? Because as you rightly say, the last time they were there, it was 69-0. Last year, it was 48-0. So I guess to get points on the board, to score a couple of tries and to keep England less than 40 or so. And I know it's hard to say, but I think that will be a big plus for Ireland going forward.
I know how much you're involved in coaching, and they brought in Scott Beaman, Greg McWilliams. You know, maybe unfairly was blamed for lack of performances with the women's team in the past. And I know you've done a lot of coaching in the women's game. Are you seeing the improvements? Like, do you feel it's heading in the right direction? I know it is a focus now for the IRFU to put the resources in there and make sure that there's work being done there. But there's a lot of people within the game saying that there's still an awful lot more that needs to be done and more work that needs to go into it. So I suppose we may have to give that a little bit of time to see if it is going to actually happen. But are you seeing improvements that you'd be happy with within the game that makes you feel that it is going in the right direction?
Yeah, look, I do think there's a lot that can still be done. And, you know, patience is something in sport that's required and not always delivered. But if you take there's under 20 team playing against Wicklow Rugby Club today, you know, that's going into a championship games or playing games later on in the season in July. So that's a first to develop the next group of players. The youth rugby, I do think, is very strong you know, watching Leinster under 18s and Connacht and Munster, and through involvement still with girls in youth rugby, through my own coaching, I do see the talent, and I do see a lot of girls' games at between 15 and 18. And there's definitely talent coming through. It's just how do we progress that talent, you know? And that's always the key thing, getting the right coaches involved at the right levels and to try and enhance the game. The one thing that they have to improve is probably the All-Ireland League and find a way that's good for everybody, you know, because there's probably four good sides and the rest of the sides, you know, it's two leagues within one league. Can they go into a central contract system like the men, you know, but say to the girls, look, you have to play for this club or you have to play for that club. Personally, that would be a belief of mine to make the clubs stronger so that everybody has got three or four good players and not one team having 12 good players and the other teams competing in the same league not. So for me, there is areas that, you know, people can look differently at, but I do think Irish women's rugby is on a high at the moment. And Scott, the coach, current coach, he's done a very good job. And I think a huge part of that is his consistency in selection. You know, over the round of games, I think there's only been two changes and probably forced as well. So, and that's coming through in the way they play, is that consistency.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, moving on from the women's game then, we wish them the very best of luck in that encounter with England in Twickenham a little bit later on today. 2:15 is the kickoff time for that, for everybody who's interested in watching that. Also, another cracking game which is taking place later on today, I think at 4:00, and I'm really looking forward to it, is the Bulls game against Munster on tour again. And Munster now left with only one competition, and they've got to focus on that. And I think that's reflected in the team that they've picked. You know, you look at the team: Tadhg Byrne, Peter Mahoney, Jack O'Donoghue, Jack Crowley, Conor Murray, Simon Zebo, Anton Frisch. It's an extremely packed Munster side that goes to the Bulls to take this on. This is one they're going after. This is a result that they want. The Bulls, though, equally so, have suddenly found all their players again, wherever they were hiding underneath the rock. And now you've got two packed sides going against each other. This will be an absolute cracker.
Look, I'm really looking forward to it as well, for different reasons. You know, you touched on it there, but I think the Bulls got an awful lot of stick last week. But again, if you look at La Rochelle, you know, the travelling, people don't realise what travelling takes out of you. You know, you just go on holiday to South Africa and it takes you a day to get to recover and so on. And these guys have been on the road for 4 or 5 weeks, you know, travelling in between. So the Bulls made that decision, and they made that decision, although they're getting a lot of stick for it and probably rightly so in one hand, but they honestly feel they can win the URC. And I know their performance against the Bulls, against Leinster, didn't reflect that, although they were really in the game in the first half. So they haven't lost a game to any overseas or any European team since they've been in the URC competition at Loftus. So Loftus is their be-all and end-all. They really trying to get a home semi-final at Loftus because they feel they've got a great chance then of winning the competition. Munster, obviously, is the current holders, but that was the main reason why the Bulls didn't play their best team against Northampton. And as you say, all the guns are out again for Munster. So I'm also, as you are, really excited about this game, because for me, a good team, you look at their bench, you know, and Munster with Jaeger, Ahern, Coombs, Casey, Carberry, Hotnett, you know, that's all guys that on any given day starts for Munster and so on. So I do think Munster has developed that depth. Adelie Sneyman, all the talk about him not playing enough for Munster. He's back in his hometown, so I'm sure that he would like to show the Munster people that although he hasn't played a lot for them, every time he puts on that red jersey, he's a menace. So I think it's going to be very close. As I say, Loftus, the Bulls have never lost, but I think if there's a chance, four months to do it, it could be today.
Now it's time for GAA. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Sean Lane and indeed on the line by Brian Talty. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning, Reggie. How are you?
Oh, I'm not the better after last week. We kind of half-heartedly said that Wicklow had a chance, but by God, they kind of blew it in the end. Open goal, missed and everything. They nearly caused a major upset.
They certainly did, you know, and put on a great performance. And as you say, they had the chance at the end with an open goal as well. But talked to a referee during the week. The referee got a foul on the Kildare guy going out with the ball. But Wicklow certainly had their chance.
Yeah, and they almost took it. But I mean, it bodes well for the future, and hopefully they'll be able to grow on that. But Sean, it's a huge weekend of football this weekend as well, especially Munster this evening.
Yeah, huge weekend, Reggie, football in hurling. But good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you, Sean?
I'm not too bad at all. Brian, we'll start off in your own province, and we'll just try and put the whole lot together rather than asking you two different questions and two different games. I mean, you've Kevin McStays, Mayo, Davy Bourne, Roscommon. You have a few lads back from with Galway as well. I see Shane Walsh is starting and Sligo. I mean, tell us how the two games you think will go and who will contest the Connacht final.
Well, to start off, I think Mayo and Galway will get to the kind of final. But having said that, Roscommon, we've spoken, Sean, all year about this forward line that Roscommon have, and they haven't really hit it yet. But maybe today could be the day for them. You know, the likes of Donny Smith and Enda Smith and Derek Craig and Dermot Murtagh, these are fabulous players, and they have a fellow called Ben O'Carroll ready to come in as well. If they hit it, they cause Mayo lots of problems. I just think Mayo have a very strong midfield in Ruan and Cohen, and I think around that area there, they'll get enough ball to put into their forward line. Now, I don't think their forward line has improved an awful lot since last year, but having said that, Fergal Boland is playing really well as a playmaker at number 11, and then inside, Ryan O'Donoghue is a massive forward.
And would Kevin McStay be happy, Sean, with his league campaign, we'll say? I mean, I know there's always this thing, should we get to a final or not? I mean, he did at some stage seem to take the foot off the pedal, but they're there now, and they've one match to get to the Connacht final. I mean, is he in a good spot?
I think he's in a good spot, because I think he was very afraid of the league, to be honest with you, because winning the league last year didn't do them any good when they played Roscommon, but that was a week later. But now they have a little bit more time to prepare, and I think just if they can get that forward line going, because if you look at Mayo from their defence, the likes of Paddy Durkin and Enda Hessian are back in that defence, and they give great power and speed going forward. So I think it's up to the Mayo forward line to really hit it. Like, the likes of Aidan O'Shea, Tommy Conroy have been around for a long time. They need to do something now, and that's the big thing for them. But I think their strength around the middle of the field, the middle third of the field, could be the winning of the game. But if they leave Roscommon in the game, it's going to be very dangerous for them.
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose your own county, Galway, the good news with Shane Walsh starting and young Comer on the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Galway have had a lot of injuries right through the league. You know, not alone Shane Walsh and Damien Comer, like Sean Kelly has been out, Paul Conroy has been out, Liam Silk has been out. All these guys are coming back today, and they look very strong on paper, but a lot of them don't have a lot of football under their belts, you know. So you'd be a bit worried about that. But having said that, you know, Tony McAtee's doing a massive job up in Sligo, and what's happening in Sligo, Sean, is they're doing an awful lot of work at underage level, and their under-20s who have won kind of championships are now coming through as well. So they're that little bit stronger. Now, last year Galway played them and beat them, I think 220 to 12 points. But having said that, Sean, Sligo were in it for a long, long time, and I think Matthew Tierney scored two goals just near half time, and that kind of, you know, switched the momentum back to Galway. But I think it'll be tighter than last year.
Right.
But it's good to see, particularly Galway, coming back with all these good players.
Yeah, and I'd agree with all your sentiment. You know, Roscommon's forwards, if they perform, you know, we could have had an upset. But, you know, yeah, Galway Mayo, I think we nearly all agree on that. My poor old mother would be disappointed I'm agreeing with you, but I have to agree with you. I suppose if we slip down to Munster next. Now, look, we won't do much on the Clare Waterford game. We just must recognise that Waterford did a great job in overcoming Tipperary, but I suppose Clare would probably have too much for them. But the big game I really want to talk to you about. Cork didn't have a really good start to the National League game under John Cleary, but finished the league very well, drawn with Armagh and beating Meath and a couple of really good results, but up really up against it and really up against Kerry, who I see Jack O'Connor has three new guys in for a starting championship debut as well.
Yeah, he certainly has, you know, but I'm still, there's not a doubt about Kerry. You know, a lot of people are saying that they're second for the Sam Maguire. You know, there's still problems in the full back line now. That Jason Foley is gone. They're going to have to change their whole back line around to make up for that. You know, their middle of the field has loads of potential. It's a young midfield, and it's up against a very experienced midfield in Maguire and O'Callaghan today, and that'll be a difficult one for them around the middle of the field. So I just think, and the other thing is the huge dependence on David Clifford up front and Johnny O'Shea. Over the last few years, Cork have done very well on David Clifford and kind of limited him to two or three points in the game, you know. So they have this man marker called Daniel O'Mahony, who's done a really good job on him. Now, can he do it again today? That's the other thing, you know. But, like, people are really writing off Cork. I wouldn't do that now, to be honest with you, because if you say their last three games, and particularly the game against Armagh, they played really well, and they have found a full forward line that's very, very dangerous.
Yeah, and
like,
I...
if you look at their full... Sorry, Sean.
No,
yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
I'm just saying, like if they get a bit of dominance around the middle of the field, which they very well could do with the likes of Ian Maguire, he's a brilliant midfielder, and then that full forward line of Brian Hurley, Sean Oak Jones, and Conor Corbett, they're big, they're powerful, they're pacey. So, you know, and with the Kerry full back line, you know, missing the likes of Jason Foley, it could be a difficult day for Kerry. People are writing Cork off. I certainly wouldn't do that.
No, and in fairness, I was just going to say that you were the one when we started covering the Division 2, you were the very first one to say that, look at Cork, you know, they are improving. They've gone away on their holiday camp to Portugal. They seem to have ironed out a few things from what I hear, you know, and I give them a great chance. But I suppose going back to Killarney for the game, you know, it's not the ideal one. But I remember listening to Billy Morgan years ago. They were building a team and he had to go back to Killarney, and could almost hear him saying that, don't expect to win this, but I kind of want to get a lot of experience because we'll beat them the following year in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and they did. So maybe Cork are at that stage.
I think they're building. I think that they are, certainly, and that full forward line could cause huge problems, as I say, particularly if the middle of the field, if they get a bit of dominance around the middle of the field. So it will put Kerry under pressure. But like when you have the likes of the Cliffords and Sean O'Shea, you can't keep them quiet every day.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
And the other thing, you know, so they could explode on a day like today. But having said that, you know, there's a lot of people in Cork saying, okay, maybe we may not win this game today, but we will give it a right shot, and then we're playing again later on in the year and we will improve again. So there is a huge improvement. They have Kevin Walsh in there as a coach as well. So he'll be doing a lot of work defensively with them. So it will be an interesting game. I think Kerry will win it because I think, you know, the likes of Adrian Spillane and Tommy Brosnan can come off the bench, and Paul Geaney can come off the bench and cause a problem. Stephen O'Brien is on the bench as well. So they might have more strength and depth. But having said that, it could be a very tight game, and hopefully it's a good game of football.
Please God, and we need a good game down in Cork and Kerry, because we had a very poor one last weekend between Dublin and Meath, as you know. I got to switch up to Ulster with you now. We've two very similar defensive coaches who are masters of the counter attack with Donegal playing Derry. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's going to be interesting. There was a huge excitement when the draw came out, and I think the big excitement was that it was Mickey Hart versus Jim McGuinness.
Yeah.
You know, that was the excitement of the whole thing. What tactics are they going to come up with and that? But the only thing with tactics, Sean, you know yourself, you have to have players to implement this. Now, there's two very talented teams. One are Division 1 champions, the other are Division 2 champions. Now, I would think Derry have that more experience, the back-to-back champions, and that they're going for it again this year, and everybody is tipping them for the All-Ireland final. This is dangerous because it brings a lot of pressure onto the lads themselves, so dealing with that is going to be a huge thing for Mickey Hart as well. But and Jim McGuinness is only in 7 months, but he's made a huge difference to Donegal. They've won loads of games. They've won Division Two. They haven't done that for 2 or 3 years. So the only thing I'm thinking is the experience of Derry and having won two championships already, Division One champions. I think they're flying, and they just have a tactic that, well, I think it's a tactic they have anyway. With Kieran McFall at number 11, he is really a defender, so they allow him to go back into defence with Conor Glass, and they leave it open then for the likes of Owen McAvoy to come forward, McCluskey to come forward, and lots of goals are coming from there. So what will Jim McGuinness do with this? You know, everybody's expecting Jim to come with a huge plan. Maybe he will, but I just think the experience of Derry and, you know, the fact that Mickey Hart is in charge as well will have them well hyped up for this game.
Time for football now. Delighted to be joined on the line by Alan Cawley. Good morning, Al. How are you?
I'm good, Reggie. How are you?
Ah, great. Not a bother on me now. Looking forward to the weekend, as always, of sport. But there was plenty of action last night, there's no doubt about it. And Shelburne slipping up again. 1-0 defeat away to Galway United in Tyrone Park. A bad mistake again to lose that one.
Yeah, poor result, Reggie. As you said, slipping up again, because coming off the back of the defeat last week, the Bohemians as well. And I think that's 1 point in their last nine. And when you think of the unbelievable start that they had, unbeaten after seven games, eight games, and then obviously to lose the last two in the way that they have to Bohemians and now to Galway as well, they'll be bitterly disappointed with that. And especially when you look around the table and Shamrock Rovers hot under tails now as well. So it was a poor result. I didn't see any of the Shelburne match. Now, we were up in Derry doing the game, but just in terms of the result, it's poor, especially when you consider the start that they've had as well, Reg. You know, you're looking for them to continue that momentum, and even though they slipped up against Bohemians last week, you're looking for a reaction this week, and to lose to Galway is a poor enough result.
Absolutely, and as you said, you were up in Derry, and we were putting a bit of pressure on Rovers last week and talking about the fact that they're not where they should be, but they put that to rights going up to the Brandywell Stadium and getting a 3-1 victory last night against Derry. That's a big result away from home.
Yeah, massive, Reggie, and emphatic as well. It was almost not even in the sense that it sent out a statement, but you look at their last, I think that's 5 wins in their last 6 now as well. So it's ominous form when you look around at the other teams as well, who are all inconsistent and dropping points, whereas Shamrock Rovers look like they're getting into their gear, getting into their groove. And when you think that they obviously went away to Derry last night, and Derry, the tough place to go in terms of people saying that Derry are going to put up a challenge this year, and they're expected to put up a challenge to finish second in the last two seasons, to win in the manner that they did, and emphatic in the second half, and annihilated Derry, really. And Aaron Green, who's hit a lovely patch of form, he scored 2 last week, scored 2 again last night. And as I said, when you think of the injuries that they have, Shamrock Rovers as well, and the players to come back, it's certainly looks ominous for all the other clubs.
Yeah, and Bowes, I mean, all they can do is keep getting the points, and that's what they did last night against Drogheda. You might say before the match, well, this is one you'd expect them to win, but you could have said that too, maybe about Shelburne away to Galway. Bowes got the job done, 1-0, and they're sitting there in second place, just racking up the points.
Yeah, and I think that's their 4th win in 6 matches since Alan Reynolds has come in. And as you say, they're racking up the points and sitting second in the table, and it's been a really good start for him. He knows the work that he has to do, and obviously he wasn't coming in thinking he was going to be challenger for a league title, but the longer they can stay there, who knows, they might end up being the challengers. But certainly in terms of Alan's start at Bohemians, his first 6 matches, to win 4 and get them right up the table sitting second, they'll be absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, St. Pat's now, Richmond Park. They'll be disappointed. I know Waterford have been playing well and decent enough form, but a 1-1 draw at home for Pat's would be a target. They would have targeted this one as one they could have gotten the full 3 points from.
Yeah, I think that's a disappointing result, Reggie, especially, as I say, when these are the teams that you're hoping that can challenge Shamrock Rovers, and some people hoping they might overtake them. Not with form like that, not when you're drawing your home games, and they've been very patchy, St. Pat's, so far this season. Funnily enough, to beat Shamrock Rovers, that was the one game the Shamrock Rovers have lost in the last 6, but it's no good beating Shamrock Rovers and then drawing home to Waterford and being inconsistent, you know, the way they have been. They need to build on that and capitalise on that. So that's the issue really around the league with all the other teams. They're so inconsistent, whereas Shamrock Rovers now to win 5 of their last 6, and as I said, getting into their groove as well, especially the emphatic nature which they won last night. I can see no, I can't see past Shamrock Rovers, Reggie. I said it at the start of the season, and now we're 11 games in, and to win away to Derry the way it did last night, I just can't see past them at all.
Yeah, me either. Okay, across the water then, well, during the week, let's call it then, City, I thought they were the better team. That's the reality of it. I thought they were the better team against Real Madrid, and they didn't get their penalties. A horrible way to go out. They probably should have finished it in normal time anyway. It's kind of, it's a little bit hard to grasp that they're out.
Yeah, as you said, they probably were the better team over the two legs. They certainly dominated the game the other night, and Real Madrid were hanging on for large periods in the match. But at that level, you have to take your chances, Reggie. And when you think of the chance that Kevin De Bruyne had at the end, and if he wanted it to fall to anyone in that position, it would be him. And just on the penalty spot and coming onto it, and the lovely technique and strike that he has, you'd be expecting the net to bulge. But they had their chances. They've only themselves to blame, Reggie. And to be fair to Real Madrid, I actually admire the fact that they were on the ropes, but they hung in and they fought, and everybody sees Real Madrid as the giant that they are, but a lot of technically gifted players. But they showed real character and resilience to the night, to fight and battle, and the likes of Rudiger, I thought was fantastic on the night. Nacho as well, never gave Haaland a kick. And they've only themselves to blame, really, to be fair. Like, you look at the English teams, Arsenal as well against Bayern Munich, and They probably, I would say Arsenal are probably a better team than them, if you look at the form that Arsenal have been all season. But in cup competition like that, especially at Champions League level, the slightest little error and you're punished, and especially against elite teams like Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, who, as I said, consistently over the year, I think Arsenal have probably played better. Man City have certainly been a better team than maybe Bayern or Real Madrid. Mm. But on the night in cup football, anything can happen, as we've seen. And I suppose some say that's the beauty of the Champions League. Some people will say, you know, you judge it over a league period, it's a better kind of gauge over 38 games, and the league table doesn't lie, as we often hear that phrase. But in Champions League at elite level, which I absolutely love the Champions League, these are the games, these are the big moments, the elite matches against the top players, and the slightest little moment. And if you're off just for one night, Reggie, you'll be punished.
Who do you fancy now that those matches are out of the way?
Yeah, it's a shame, really, but Real Madrid are playing Bayern Munich, because I would have loved, after the performance they put in the other night, love to see them get to the final. Or Bayern, especially for Harry Kane as well, I think it'd be great for him. But obviously one of them are going to go out. And then you look at the other side of the draw, which is, people were suggesting, and they're right, it was the weak side of the draw. Now, when I say weak, still really top teams, but in terms of the other half, obviously it is weaker than that. But I think PSG, it's opened up for them now, and obviously Mbappe, the form that he's been in, and he obviously showed up again the other night against Barcelona. I thought they played really well. Dortmund's a great story, but I can't see them getting past PSG, so I think it's going to be a PSG Real Madrid final, and I think that would be absolutely brilliant for us all, Reggie.
Yeah, I think it'll be PSG Bayern personally, and I think Bayern will get there, believe it or not. I just think that resilience they have will get them over the line. I think there's too many flaky characters in that PSG side that can disappear on a night, and have done in the past.
Funny enough you say that, Reggie. And that's fair comment, obviously, when you look at them over the last few seasons. But I think since Luis Enrique has come in, even looking at them the other night, there's a different feel about them. Mm. Obviously, to have Mbappe as the superstar, you need that. But you look at all the other players, Vitini has been brilliant since he's come in, and there's a real togetherness and spirit that probably hasn't been there, which has been their downfall. So I think we might see a different PSG now that we're down to the business end. Yeah. But it's up for grabs with any of them. As you said, the fact that City are gone out of it now, who were the half favourites, any of those three, I think. Even Dortmund have a chance, you know. Yeah. They've all a chance at this stage.
Absolutely. Okay, just to finish really quickly, did you ever see Atten as pathetic as that carry on for the penalty in the Chelsea match? Children.
Oh my God,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I felt for Pochettino as well because people have criticised him over the season and the form, but you can only imagine what he's dealing with behind the scenes
with those kids.
Yeah, absolutely. No, in fairness, I thought he was really strong afterwards. He said.
Thanks for listening to Dublin Stock and Sport on Sunshine 106.8 from myself, Ken, and Reggie. Have a good weekend.